the Lord lives in is I can sleep in the middle of a storm and know it's still going to be all right. You know. I mean, can you see the boat coming back to shore and they're going, oh my God, we made it, but Jesus drowned. Come on. Come on. That ain't going to happen. You know. Oh, it was horrible. And he went down and he went up. No. He, you know, we're supposed to clue off of Jesus. Did you know that? You know, they're sitting in the boat and he's asleep. And he, you know, they look at him and go, gosh, he looks like he's really resting. You know, and instead of them, instead of looking at him and going, you know, if he's all right and he doesn't think the boat's going down, I think I'm going to be all right too because I'm with him. Now, if I was in that boat, I might have gotten up a little closer to him and hung on to his clothes and stuff, you know, and just in case the water started. But nonetheless, I would cling to Jesus and cling to his tenor and cling to his manner. Yes. You understand? Because a lot of us cling to Jesus, but we're clinging to Jesus not over his tenor or his manner or what he's communicating even while he's asleep. We cling to him to still get us out of that situation, mm-hmm. You know, and not to be with him, you know, when things don't look so good because of fear. And that's what Jesus said. Why? I mean, his words here just really got, why? I can just see Jesus sitting up and go, why are you so fearful? Why are you this way? You fret about these things and you worry and well this doesn't and this why did they do that and this and that and there is all of this turmoil. You know, I was thinking about a title because I do this blog thing and I was thinking about how to be a Mary in a Martha world. Because Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, and Martha is, Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha. Anytime he uses your name twice, you're in trouble. They didn't have middle names back then, so yeah. You know. So it's Martha, Martha. Why are you so troubled? You are troubled and carrying this load over many things when Jesus is sitting right there, you know? And you know, Martha could have said, I'm cooking for you, Jesus. I'm doing this for you. I'm working for God. What do you mean? What's wrong? You know, I'll tell you what's wrong. Trying to get this meal ready for you is a problem because of her. Pointing to her sister Mary. She's the problem. Okay, yeah. She is. She wants Jesus. She's got her eyes focused and she's missing things. Okay. All right. Okay. So, let her have it. No, Jesus said, let her alone. And he does that a lot. He did that with the woman with the alabaster box, too. Let her alone. Do we ever, you know, we say, I heard from God the other day. You know, we say that a lot. I heard from God the other day, and he told me, let her alone. You know, I'm talking about somebody. Do we ever hear that? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, so-and-so. Oh, the Lord's about to speak. Let her alone. You know. And then stand up in front of the church and say, you know, somebody was really bugging me, this sister in the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me and said, let her alone. Because, you know, we are his servant. We can stand or fall based on his guidance and leadership. And my phone just went off. And so, those words, why are you so fearful? You're just, look at you. Look how you're reacting. Look at how your mind works. Look at how your emotions break out. Why are you so fearful? And from Jesus' world, he's wondering about that. Do you see how Jesus is? Because he's from another reality. I don't want to say, I'm not talking about just heaven. I'm talking about the way that he is. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we can literally not have his thoughts, but the mind of Christ, right? Doesn't the scriptures tell us? And if you want it, you can have it. But we can't continually be shoving our fears into our hands that go hunting to get Jesus up and get him involved in our situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get our fears shoving into our hands, shaking Jesus. I'm going, get up. I need you. I need help. I need this. I need that. Do we have needs? Yes. Does he meet needs? Yes. Is he more interested in meeting our fears or our needs, true needs? No, he wants us to fear not. Now he uses that a lot. Fear not, fear not, fear not. We go, no, fix whatever's bugging me. Right? I mean, isn't that, can you kind of see that? Fear not. I'll fear not when you deal with this. Right? I mean, that's how we think, you know. Fear not. What are you talking about? You know? Goliath's standing there. You know, he can take my head off. Well, I can take his head off. And that's exactly what David did. Took his head off. See? All right. So then it says after that, he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. So first Jesus rebuked them, then he rebuked their fear issue. See, a lot of times for us, it appears in modern day Christianity that Jesus never rebukes us. He only rebukes the problem. But in this case, he rebuked them and said, the way you're proceeding is not right. And then he went ahead and dealt with the thing. What is that calling for? That's calling for an openness. But see, it's an openness to the Jesus of this other reality, this other realm, not just an openness to Jesus fixing stuff, you know? And that's going to take seeing Jesus by the Spirit, not some spooky thing, just God revealing him in the Word and therefore revealing him in us. And so he's at rest in us so that when the storms come, if he's still at rest in there, we can be at rest. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If he's at rest, then we follow his lead. See, we're the boat. We're the boat. And he's in us. And the boat's being tossed. But our hearts are with him, not reaching for a Jesus way up in heaven to fix something. But our hearts are here with him. And you can be assured this whole 3.5 years that Jesus had these 12 disciples and he's walking around and there was Pharisees and issues and this and that and all this stuff coming up, that there were a multitude of problems probably every day. And Jesus didn't just stop every... they're walking along, somebody goes, oh, I stubbed my toe, or, you know, this and that, and just heal that toe. You know, oh, well, I got a headache. Heal that headache. Well, you know, just follow me. You know, is it okay to follow Jesus like this? You know, maybe not. You know, or some of you are already doing it. Amen. Amen. And that's the beauty of following Jesus, is it's our heart following his heart. It's not just seeing a physical Jesus and my physical body going, well, I can't. Because you know what? If you couldn't go to Guatemala, you can stay here and pray and follow Jesus. You know? I mean, we make everything so complicated. Well, I'm worthless because I can't go to Guatemala. Really? Is that the deal? You know, that's the one deal that proves you're worthless. The country of Guatemala. What? What is that? No. You are worth everything to him, and he should be worth everything to you, in you. Amen? I mean, isn't that right? All right. So, once he got through rebuking them, and then, you know. And remember, the rebuke wasn't, well, you stupid idiots, you're just stupid. It wasn't that kind of rebuke, right? It wasn't. It wasn't like, my God, you people, just get out of the boat and swim back. You know, he didn't do that. He's trying to get us to follow his lead, his heart lead, his tenor, his way, the being that is that we call Jesus. But see, we go Jesus, you know, and we form this idol, this image, instead of knowing the heart and being that's called Jesus. See, and then it's not so much about, you know, because we, oh, well, the name of Jesus is powerful, and it'll move mountains, and the name of Jesus, and there is no other name given in heaven or earth but the name of Jesus. And I go, well, let's see, what'd they call him back in Jesus' day? Or even today, Yeshua. God bless you. But that's what they call, you know, Yeshua. And in Mexico or Latin American countries, they call him Jesus. You know? We go, there's only one name given. Well, which is it? I mean, you can keep going. In all these different countries, they have a different derivative of, how about we know the being, the person, and whatever you slap on it, and I'm just saying, God will bless, but everybody's slapping something on it. You know? It's change and change and change and change. But to know him, instead of going, well, anything that says Jesus has got to be Jesus. Right? So, after he got through that, it says this, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What men marveled? The disciples. And now, so storm comes. Don't you care? Don't you even care? You know, I guess I'm going to go a little longer than I thought it would. Anyway. Surprise. don't you even care? And they're going through all of that, and they're freaking out, and so they wake up. So they let their fears guide their hands, and they wake, get up. You know, he goes, what the? What in God's name? Anyway, and he speaks to them to bring them into him, and he speaks in a manner that will affect them, hopefully. Why are you so fearful? And he's trying to get them more with him, not just in the same boat, in the same heart and spirit and way. So then after he says that, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and it all comes down, and they go, oh my God, he's so powerful. They totally miss everything that it was about. Yeah. Wow! There's that, what kind of man is this thing there? And they marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? They're going, you know, oh my God, he does really neat stuff. He'd like to do some neat stuff with us, in us, by him. And there, so let's just put it like this. There's a chance that had they gotten on the shore and Jesus said, hey, you know what? I changed my mind about coming to this little town. Let's hop in the boat and go over there. And while going over there, another storm comes. There's a really good chance they'd all be going, wake up again. Why are you doing this? Yeah, Michael.
He's fully God and he's fully man. So is he fully asleep?
Yes.
And not asleep.
Yeah, no, he's fully asleep. I know it. Wait a minute, let me double check. Let me feel into the spirit. Oh, I got it. Yes, he was. Here's why I'm saying that. Because I can't imagine Jesus there, and he's asleep in the boat, but he's kind of looking around like this. You know, and they go, Jesus, you're not really a slave. Are you messing with us? Yeah, that's right. And he closes his eyes and he goes, no, seriously, that's when you come in with that. All right, so I'm just telling you that it really, really bugged me and always has this thing, Master, carest thou not that we perish? To kind of throw that on Jesus like that. You know, and they've seen all kind of stuff before this. But the Lord prompted me that this came from somewhere. It came from the verses prior to this incident happening. And there was a situation, a specific situation that happened. And several, actually. And that's in, beginning with verse 19. Did anybody ever find out where we are?
Matthew 8:23.
Thank you. What did I say earlier?
18.
Okay. Well, here's actually what mine says. It says May 1823, which was a good month in 1823. But when I got to the top where I was going to circle back where I'm doing right now, it says Matthew 8:19. So, if you have a Bible, turn in your Bibles. Does this sound strange? Usually you get that at the very beginning. I remember we always had big baskets when we'd take offerings when we were on Bolivar Street, and I prompted the guys that take the offering to be ready for me at a certain juncture when I start to preach right at the beginning. So you were there probably, and I'm standing up there and I said, turn in your Bibles, and they started passing the offering plate, and I said, no, put your Bibles in there, turn in your Bibles, and they're going what? Okay, this is verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And I heard his heart all of a sudden. I heard Jesus saying, I can't find any rest down here. I don't fit in down here. This isn't, you know, everything is different. I'm going to just say it like these things. Everything is different here. Everything, this is not what I'm comfortable with. And, of course, there's all these wrong motives with everybody constantly. There's all this sin. There's all this junk. And he's saying, I don't fit in down here. I don't feel right. I don't feel at home. So there's no way that you can follow me to where I want to go unless you're one with me. You know, there's more of a, and the truth is, that's the truth. You can't get this peace or anything else unless he has made unto you peace. You have to be one with Jesus. That's what salvation starts. And then the next verse, 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Now this is a disciple. This is a disciple. And it's kind of funny because it says a certain scribe in verse 19. And in verse 21 it says another of his disciples. As if that scribe might have been considered a follower, a believer, one who was after the Lord. And he did make this scribe did make the statement, Lord, I will follow you wherever. And Jesus is going, your kind of following is not going to get it because you're too much of this right now. And so this other one comes up and he says, you know, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus saith unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. All right. Then the incident happens right after this. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples. Okay. So Jesus is not speaking from a realm that we're familiar with. He doesn't fit into this world. Foxes have holes. Everything made in this world has its place, but he doesn't have his place in this world. And he's, in a sense, he's never really going to have his place in this world, nor are we supposed to, because we're in the world but not of it. But he's going to find his place in us. We're going to be the bride. We're going to be the church. We're going to be the body of Christ. We're going to be his resting place. We're supposed to be that. And the following isn't like what the 12 disciples did, where Jesus walks that way and you walk that way too. The following is now going to be, and that's why Jesus, you know, it's going to be following his tenor. It's going to be following his nature. It's going to be following his being, where we recognize what Jesus is doing in us. If he's at rest, be at rest. If he wants to stretch forth his hand, we're the body of Christ. Let's be his hand. And do it. If we're supposed to go, let's make sure it's Christ wanting to go, and it's as much as we know how, it's Jesus, not for Jesus. Amen. Different kind of following. Different kind of following. So Jesus, you know, the guy comes up and disciple, I'll follow you anywhere. I will follow you wherever you go. And he's going, you know, no. You don't even know how much I'm not. How different I am and other I am from the way you think and feel and proceed. And then, so he says that, and then this next guy comes up and he says, hey, let me go bury my father. And Jesus saith unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. But he's not just saying, well, you can't do funerals. You say, well, what is he saying then? Well, isn't, you know, isn't that something that we're supposed to find out in the Spirit? We're supposed to understand. So Jesus says that, and maybe he even got a sense that this guy didn't understand, maybe because he's going, I want to go bury my father, for God's sake. Why are you so cruel? And so then he trying to rest in the boat, they wake him up, and he says, You know how sometimes things kind of build up in a certain way. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so filled with this world and the way you don't? You know, you're supposed to cue off of me, and you're cueing off of your fears that are controlling your mind, that are controlling your hands, and that are causing you to touch me in a way that I don't want to be related. I don't want to be touched that way. That's, you know, but, you know, they might have even said, Lord, you know, we love you, bye. But it's, foxes have holes, but he doesn't. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have that. And so when he hears his disciples, the 12, because before it could have been the multitude, the 12 got in the boat with him and went across and were in the, so now it's just his 12, and they're freaking out, and they're misreading, and they're misunderstanding, and they can't see, and they don't know, and they, his words say this, and they translate it like this. You know, it's like we're going to Guatemala, and, you know, Nisi will be doing some translating, and we'll say some English words, and she'll say it like this, but the difference is that we may not understand. If you don't know Spanish, you'll go, you know, I mean, I've seen translators in countries where I travel around where the preacher was saying one thing and the translator was saying something different because he didn't understand what the preacher was trying to say. He didn't get it at all. It's like, what is this Christ crucified stuff, you know? And Jesus loves you and he died for you and everything's going to be good, you know? And you're going, well, that's great, but that's not what he's saying, you know? And so Jesus is saying these things and he's being this way, and we think we can relate to him. Don't you think the 12 felt pretty good? We're relating, we're following Jesus. And And his heart is longing for something different. And he's longing to be able to speak to them, and they hear him. And he sees that they hear him. They don't just hear, you know. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so if you were there at the moment and you said, how many of you have ears? Raise your hand. They all would have raised their hand. But he wasn't talking about these ears. You know, it's like, whoops, Malchus is here. And, you know, his name means one ear, so he probably can't hear. Anyway, it doesn't mean one ear. Sorry. Every time I do that, I'm going to have to do a disclaimer on that. Anyway, he had his ear cut. Well, if somebody's standing there, was there anybody standing there with no ears that could hear? Okay, he that had the ears, sorry, Sam, you're out. Not you, Sam. This Sam. You know, you're in. how about Bob? Bob, No, Jesus, why? He that hath ears to hear, he's longing to be able to speak or to touch or to move or to, you know, to communicate things to us. Foxes have holes. You know, these different animals have this. And the Son of, he won't even say himself, but I don't have anything because it's self-pity. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head as long as this world is like it, what it is. And we go, okay, I won't follow you. I mean, I guess that's what you mean by that. I was saying I want to follow you, and you're talking about what you don't have. You know, I mean, you can get way off on this stuff. You can get extremely off because you just don't hear it. Well, I fall into that category. I want to more and more hear his voice. But I want to get it from his being. I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to just concentrate. You know, the Pharisees concentrated just on the scriptures. And you know I preach we should search the scriptures. You know I preach that. But we're searching for him. We're not searching just for scripture truths and facts and, you know, that sort of thing. Did you have a... Yes.
It's not just that, and I've learned this about myself, I'm hearing the Lord, but I'm misinterpreting some things that he's saying.
Right.
I'm not hearing him properly because I'm not hearing from the place that he's speaking.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to say amen to that. So.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were on Maple Street and I preached what I considered a really good thing that the Lord gave me. He gave it to me and I preached it. And when I was going out, there were some people standing there and the brother walked up and he said, man, that was a really, really good sharing. And he started describing what I shared. And I never said any of that. Nor was that my direction. And I just kind of went, what the heck am I doing then? You know, I mean, because you just go, And I assume that, you know, even in my notes right here, I assume that the problem begins with me. Because it's your place as the minister, but maybe I don't have it just right here. Maybe it's better. Yes, Lord. Thank you. You know, the Lord isn't going to shake our world in the sense that we think to get our attention. He's going to shake our world to get us into his world, you know. And we'll find out what is his world when it can't be shook. If the storm comes and Jesus is at rest and we be at rest, then everything that can be shook will be shook. But that's the kingdom within us. That's the king, see. So where's the kingdom of God? Where is it? Anywhere Jesus rules. If Jesus is ruling by sleeping in the boat and you're at peace, then that's the kingdom. There it is. You don't have to go look for it or try to, well, you know, that church, that's not the kingdom or this and that. Well, you don't know. There might be somebody in there, really, or a whole bunch of somebodies. We're just quick to judge. And the judgments are usually not because we see, and when I say this, not because we see the being and we're all conforming, but because we see Jesus, and we see Jesus in the Gospels, and we say, well, you know, the old saying, what would Jesus do? Anybody, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? We don't have a clue. We don't know. And it's good we don't know, unless we're just becoming Pharisees and marking it by the Scriptures, because the life of Christ can do those things. I'm going to close with this little story and then maybe add something to it. Lord, help me on this. Not on the story, but the little addition here. A bunch of cats are gathered around, and they're hungry, and they hadn't found anything to eat. And an older cat comes walking up, and he goes, you know, he sees all of the problems and stuff, and he says, pray. Just pray. We've got to pray. Just pray. Pray that it rains mice. Pray that God will rain mice. Pray that it'll come down and we'll have plenty of mice. And so they all start to pray and everything. And this older dog comes walking by. And he looks at him and he smiles and kind of laughs. He says, the dog says, you know, God, you know, God's not going to send a rainstorm of mice. Everybody knows that God rains down dog bones. There's something to this story. There's something to this. Because we pray for our own image. We pray for what's normal to us. A guy prays guy stuff, and a girl prays girl stuff, and a child prays child stuff. And the picture I was picturing, you got this young boy, and he's very promising. He's playing football, and he's so good, and he's just excelling. And the team has gotten to the place where they're going to enter the big tournament, you know. And it's a high school kid, and it's a big thing, and they're going to win the national championship. And all of a sudden, before the game, just during the practice, he ends up getting hurt. And the ambulance goes off. And while it's pulling away, the mother is praying for her son. And she's praying, Lord, just heal my son so that he's not going to be a cripple. The father is saying, heal my son because I want him to be a big star, play in this big game. And the coach says, heal that boy because without it, we won't win a national championship, and we got to have that. And the grandmother is praying, Lord, don't heal him. I don't believe that's the direction he's supposed to go. He's supposed to be a doctor. And, all right, are y'all following? Do I need to make up some more here? Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I was hoping I could find enough of those to make. We're praying for mice, or we're praying for dog bones. We're praying according to us. We're judging circumstances according to us, how it relates to me, what I want for them, or this or that. And most of it is just that. It's just all us down here, and it's not finding his heart and conforming to his image and having the I'm going to say it like this, the perfect life, which is Christ, guide our tongue and our fears and our hands and our thoughts so that Christ can be all and in all. so that we can actually be the body of Christ and him the life that's living in his body instead of us serving God, using our bodies for him. Let's stand together and we'll just close with a word of prayer. Father, as usual, my words are so inadequate. I thank you that we have other men that preach in this church, and Lord, that can bring your heart and your message the way it's supposed to be. Lord, forgive me and all of my failures and all of my lack, but even in all of that, use it. Use whatever morsel you can of it to quicken the dead. You said they will hear your voice and the dead shall rise. Lord, quicken the dead. Quicken that which is dead to Christ in us and not alive unto him. Father, so we ask you to move by your Spirit and to continue to soften us. And Lord, we know that this season is a season of focusing on you. It is a season that is about you. It's not about us. We've said that. May we believe it. May we walk in it. May we keep our hearts tender to you first. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you greet our visitors and maybe hug about four or five people. Thank you.